Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Monsters Who Murder, Serial Killer Confessions.
Police found 27 corpses.
Australia's worst serial killer.
Even though I didn't want to get in the car, I had to.
With Amanda Howard and Robert McKnight.
Yes, it's a big welcome to a big season, season 12, as we bring in Monsters Who Murder, Serial Killer Confessions with the one and only serial killer whisperer, Amanda Howard. She's a criminologist, a true crime author. As I mentioned, the serial killer whisperer. There's, list is too big to mention here, Amanda. Hello.
Oh, you do me so kind, Robert. How are you going?
I'm good. I'm really excited to be back. We're back on form. Everything's come together for season 12. I'm very excited. We've got new backgrounds. We'll see when I change them again.
It's always interesting, but I do love it. I love the darkness of the blood behind us. Mm. Better than the one that we had in the first episode we did this way. We both had different swirling bloods, and I didn't have enough blood, so I'm glad that we have equal blood rights now.
Yes, indeed. I think I gave you a bit more blood. Hey, speaking of the video and what's behind us, I've got to say a big thanks to everyone who's been supporting the video podcast, which you can, of course, find at mwm.uscreen.io. Amanda, the reaction has been fantastic. People are really enjoying being able to see the body language that you're referring to. But of course, we're still trying to service those who listen on the podcast.
Yeah, that's right. And it makes me totally aware of my own body language too, because I do telltale signs to let people know how I'm feeling, and they're picking up on that as well. But it's so good to be able to give these visual
cues. What do you mean when you're annoyed with me?
And show people how they are. Yeah, like, how, you know, and I was clenching fists and giving you this sign and all of this. But they can see that now. So I'm trying to keep my hands in my lap as best I can, but I'm one of these people who is mute without their hands. So I'm trying.
You are trying. Hey, we're doing Ryan Waller as our psychological profile. Now, Amanda has asked me not to get too across this case because apparently it is filled with some OMG moments, and I'm going to take the journey along with our viewers and our listeners. So that's pretty exciting, Amanda. I can't wait.
Oh, I'm so excited. I have goosebumps when I found this case. It sort of grabbed me straight away. So I'm always looking for new cases, and usually I just sort of add them to the queue that's now up to 2043, I think. But this one I had to do as soon as possible because it's a little known case and I want to see how people react whilst they're watching it. So just please, guys, just get into our Facebook group, either the Patreon group or the public group, and tell me what you're thinking as you're listening to this case, because I'd love to see live responses.
Well, we'll get into that very soon, but as always, we like to bring you a hit of news of what has happened this week. And three people have been arrested after the discovery of two bodies in the US state of Georgia. As Channel 2's Taisha Fernandez reports on the local news, police are not ruling out the possibility of this being a possible serial killer case.
I just want to show you where police found the remains of the two women here in Henry County. Yesterday, it was right here in this wooded area. Now, we do have pictures of the suspects. Take a look at these. Police have them in custody right now. It's Dennis Lane, Renisha Preckwinkle, and Cleonzi Fisher. They are all charged with murder, and they're facing some additional charges. But the man there, Dennis Lane, is charged with necrophilia. Henry County police found the remains of two women yesterday behind a shopping plaza on Oakwood Manor Drive in Stockbridge, right off of Hudson Bridge Road. Those victims have not been identified yet. And remember, police found the remains of another person very close to here last week. Police are chasing several leads at the moment, and they're not ruling out that all of these victims are connected in some way. And they're also not ruling out that this could be a serial killer situation.
Well, since that report, 41-year-old Dennis Lane, he's the man in the middle there, has been charged with the murder of 21-year-old Mersha Victor. It's alleged Lane was helped by two people when disposing of the body. Lane allegedly recorded video of the crime on his smartphone. Now, Amanda, the second victim hasn't yet been identified, but the body was dumped just across the road from the alleged murder scene.
Yeah, it has. So it's quite interesting that they're actually focusing on one case at this time, and that is purely because of evidence they have on a mobile phone. So that's why they've been able to sort of jump ahead with some of these charges. But this is also linked to a third victim from last year and also a fourth victim from 2014. So there's a lot of open questions that are currently happening about this case. The arrest warrant is quite graphic to what has happened. There has been another murder that the family has been linked to. These people are actually like related and partners and all of this sort of stuff. So it's quite a tangled web, and there is a lot more information that's going to come on this case. But I think just this one charge is going to be added to a whole list by the time the police have finished their investigations, because there has been a number of leads that have come forward in the last even 24 hours.
There's some interesting elements to this. I mean, the first is actually the dumping of a body right across the road from where you did the murder. That just seems stupid. How did you get away with possibly four other murders if you are this stupid?
Don't know how I want to answer that question, but yeah, we are seeing a bit of geographical profiling here, that these victims were in close proximity. They were actually in bushland behind a shopping centre, so I don't know if they were planning on dumping them into the big garbage bin things that they have behind shopping centres and hoping that they would get away. I don't know why they think that this was an easy response to having a dead body on their hands, because the two other people have only actually been charged with abuse of a corpse, because they had helped dump this victim. I know that then surely if it's behind a shopping centre, there is cameras there as well. So I think that they messed up, and we know that serial killers can mess up, and they do these silly things that, oh God, we're behind a shopping centre and there's a camera. But I think at the same time, maybe they have a lot of other victims allegedly, and that they think that they can get away with it because they've done this before. There has been another victim found in close proximity in 2014. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah, and the other thing that I found interesting was the idea that, again, this person has help. You know, there are people that knowingly help someone who is alleged to have killed, to have murdered, and yet they are helping him, allegedly, dispose of the body.
Well, they're family, so sometimes blood is thicker than water, but it also means that there is more people that can have this case collapse, and that's what we're seeing is allegedly happening, that they have video footage of it on cell phones, which is the most ridiculous thing to do, and that it's possible that one of them is talking, because we know that Lane, on his arrest, was able to quickly give them a lot more information, and so the other two were arrested shortly thereafter. So, yeah, it's basically only two people can keep a secret as long as one of them is dead.
Amanda, I don't know anyone in my family who would help me bury the body. Really, I don't know many people in my life. Maybe your sister.
Oh my God. She's more likely to be my victim than my accomplice. I'll have to say that.
That's very true. All right, let's move on. Because the dating game killer has passed away, age 77. Serial killer Rodney Alcala was given the name due to his appearance on the game show of the same name in 1978 and would be sentenced to death row just 2 years later. Alcala was found guilty for the 1979 murder of 12-year-old Robin Somozzi and would ultimately be found guilty of seven murders, but it's believed he was responsible for many more deaths. He died before his death sentence was carried out. Now, Amanda, was he suspected of being a serial killer in the 70s, or were his other killers a late discovery?
Well, they were actually looking at him for a number of cases over the years, but it was only in 2010 that they added the additional victims to his list, but those victims is nothing compared to what that they believe that he's actually killed, because they have dozens of photographs of women who he had photographed, and no one has come forward to identify hardly any of them. So it's possible that these victims are out there and unaware of the case and that they're safe and well, but it's in all possibility that a lot of these have actually been killed and we aren't to find the bodies yet. So he was put in jail and he was sort of a nobody. It's quite interesting that during his court case he actually cross-examined himself and used two different voices, which I would love to get footage of, but I cannot find it. Yeah, he's one of those. He's very much a Ted Bundy type. He's quite intelligent as well. So I think that he got away with a lot more than what we know, but at the beginning he was just a killer of one victim.
Now, it's obviously a little bit of a media headline, the fact that he was on a TV show. Let's have a look at a report by Inside Edition looking at this case, and it shows Alkayla on the game show and speaks with the contestant who sat right beside him.
We're going to have a great time together.
Sarah. It may be the creepiest episode ever on the dating game, because this bachelor looking for love back in 1978 is actually a serial killer.
I'm called the banana, and I look really good.
No one had any idea that Rodney Alcala had already launched his killing spree when he appeared on the popular dating show.
He was a real creepy guy, a real idiot. Hey,
Jed Mills was bachelor number two, and nearly 40 years later, he's still haunted by their encounter.
This creep comes up and he puts his face practically in my face and he says, "I always get the girl." And when I think about what he said, "I always get my girl," he kills him. That's what he's talking about.
What's your best time?
The best time is at night. Nighttime.
Why?
Despite Alcala's weird behavior on the dating game, the bachelorette chose him, but never went on the date because she reportedly found him creepy.
I've got to say there, Amanda, I think Jeff's more haunted by the fact that he lost the game show. But anyway, interesting that this woman picked up on a vibe and wouldn't actually go out on the date. She said he's too creepy.
Well, it's quite interesting because we often talk about on this podcast that these killers seem normal and average. So the fact that she gets a creepy vibe with him, it proves that he isn't good at just going up and taking a victim. So he obviously uses ruses like, "Oh, I'm a photographer, I'd like to take your photo," and things like that, rather than this meet in a normal social situation. So he's obviously very socially awkward. And yeah, I mean, he was creepy, but I think more in hindsight, people have sort of projected a bit more of that creepiness on him than what was probably perceived at the time.
Well, look, the simple fact is on the show, he comes across as quite likable. When you see that vision from Inside Edition, he comes across, you can see why he won. He's cracking jokes, he's good looking, although she didn't know that because she was behind the divider. I just find it interesting that she wouldn't do the date. Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, private recordings of Britain's most notorious serial killer, Dennis Nielsen, will be heard for the very first time in an upcoming documentary on Netflix called Memories of a Murderer, The Nielsen Tapes. Dubbed the Muswell Hill Murderer, Nielsen confessed to killing 15 people in 1983. We've actually profiled Nielsen on this very show, but these tapes will allow the man to speak for himself. Here's a look at the promo.
My name is Dennis Nielsen. On the journey to the police station, I was asked,
"Are we talking about one body or two?"
I immediately replied, 15 or 16. I was an inwardly troubled boy, and nobody seemed to notice.
Nielsen went round swooping up vulnerable young men.
Well, we've all got to die of something, haven't we?
Normally, in a murder case, you'll have a victim. Then you will go looking for the murderer. In this case, we had a murderer, but he didn't know who the victims were. At one stage, there was no room under the floorboards, because there were so many bodies there.
Silence.
It would be absolutely horrendous for these young men.
I remember. I am demonic. I remember. am strong and weak. It is a tale beyond comprehension.
The time is coming.
I am the harbinger of death.
I remember.
It is a great hurt to be considered to be monstrous. I am not a monster. I am a man. Awkward, isn't it?
The doco will stream on Netflix on August 18. Amanda, I'm in. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see all 250 hours. I don't want to just see the best ghoulish bits. I want to see how he builds to this and everything, because we have a reverse. As I said, we had a killer and no victims. So he didn't get the notoriety he wanted straight up. So it's interesting to see how he has to sort of embellish it all. But I'm not going to profile it right here with just a little promo. But, yeah, certainly I will be watching it.
Yeah, well, Netflix have the 250 hours worth of tapes. We do not here. So we'll have to rely on them.
Yeah.
I loved the David Tennant portrayal of Dennis Nielsen.
Yeah.
It was fabulous. That was gripping in itself. To hear these actual recordings will be phenomenal, because when Tennant did it, I felt like I was hearing the recordings. Mm-hmm. He had the mannerisms, everything down to a T. This is going to be fascinating.
Well, it's interesting that these are tapes, because we know that there's actually a lot of film as well. So it'd be interesting to see if we just hear these cassette tapes, or if we're going to see film, because we used part of it in our episode that we did on this case. But I don't know if these 250 hours is including that, or if this is separate, or what. So I don't know. I loved their Don't F With Cats. That was brilliant. So it was a bit sensationalised, but they usually are. But, yeah, I think that this is going to... that desire that we already have on this case by watching Tennant's beautiful portrayal.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see the film, although this very much seems like it's only the audio recordings, the way they've set up the promo, so it will be interesting to see. And look, if you want more serial killers, where else would you go other than right here for Monsters Who Murder Serial Killer Confessions? This is where it all happens. You do get to hear any available recordings of confessions. And if you want early access to these episodes, just go to patreon.com/MWMconfessions for as little as $5 a month. You can get early access, and then there's a whole range of tiers with extra bonus features. But of course, if you want direct access to the video stream, just go to mwm.uscreen.io. That's mwm.uscreen.io. In a moment, the case with a twist. Amanda is rubbing her hands with glee as we get ready to profile Ryan Waller.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Monsters Who Murder, Serial Killer Confessions.
Police found 27 corpses.
Australia's worst serial killer.
You know, I didn't want to get in the car, but I had to.
With Amanda Howlett and Robert McKnight.
On December 23, 2006, 21-year-old Heather Kwan spent the day with her boyfriend Ryan Waller. Christmas was 2 days away and the pair wanted to spend the holiday season together. Yet when Heather didn't return home for Christmas and neither her nor her boyfriend answered their phone when her family rang, police were sent to their home late that evening to check on them. When police entered, Heather was dead on the lounge. She had been shot. Ryan was conscious, but he refused to explain what had happened. Ryan Waller was arrested on the spot. His clothes, still splattered with blood, were taken as evidence, and he was left in the back of a police car for 6 hours before his interrogation eventually began. All right, Amanda, set the scene for us.
Okay, so we've got a young 20-something Ryan, and he has a crew cut. He's quite short. He's quite thin, and he's sitting in the interrogation room with his side to the camera. So he is facing slightly away from it, but if he turns towards the camera, that's actually facing the table as well. Mm-hmm. He has just white coveralls on because, as you just said, they did take his clothes for evidence. But the most amazing part of it all is that he has this massive black dark eye in his left eye. And so he's sort of groaning and moaning a bit, and police come and go until they finally do come in. But he's even playing with the handcuffs that are on the table, and literally handcuffs himself to the table as he's fidgeting, waiting to sort of come in and talk to him.
I have to ask, do we know when he got that black eye?
Well, he couldn't remember, and so the police believe that what we're actually looking at is a domestic violence assault charge and possible killing. So the police believe that this probably happened during the assault that killed Heather, but at this point they really don't know that, but they assume that he was punched in the face. Who by? They're actually going to go through this a bit, because there is a couple of other people that were in the house during this time that seem to have different stories. So it's quite black, which means that it has been there for at least 24 hours, if not longer. But it's not sort of annoying him too much, but he is, as I said, he is moaning and groaning a bit. So it does give him some pain, but not enough for him to sort of say, you know, take me to the hospital or anything.
Okay. It's interesting. My first thought was police justice, but obviously not if it was 24 hours prior. Look, two officers enter the room after leaving Ryan in there alone for 9 minutes. There are no introductions, just demands.
Okay, actually, we now want your feet on the table. I'm going to take pictures of the bottom of your feet for me. Pull up the slats. Is that good enough for you, Paul?
That'd be fine.
Okay, lift them up a little bit. There you go. And two more swabs, if you can see those. You see them? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Move this one towards, there you go.
No, I'm going the other one.
Oh, okay. Move that one out. Move this one out. There you go.
I just want to go to sleep.
That will happen sooner or later.
It's interesting. They're just taking a pile of photos, not talking to him. They've actually convicted this guy before they've even chatted to him, haven't they? In their heads, he's the guilty one. We'll get to trying to get him to confess, but we're going to gather as much evidence as possible now.
Yeah, and so they're totally ignoring him as a person here. They walk in, it's not, hi, Ryan, I'm detective such and such, and I'm detective such and such, like we normally see. It's like, put your feet up on the table, we're going to take photos of them. You know, and he's actually walked into this room barefoot. So God knows what his feet have touched. He's been in the back of a police car where other suspects have been, you know, so God knows what's going on here, but they're certainly not treating him as a suspect or a victim or anything like that. They're just, put your feet up on the table. You know, it just doesn't sit right with me that they're just basically ignoring him and want his feet.
Yeah, they're actually treating him like an animal. And when we finally hear Ryan speak, he said he wants to go to sleep.
Yeah, I mean, he's sitting in a police station and he has been arrested for murder and he wants to sleep. So it's quite interesting that he doesn't realise the ramifications of what's going on, that he just wants to go to bed. You know, he's got a black eye. He doesn't want to be there. It's about 5 a.m. now. He's been sitting in a police car for 6 hours and he just wants to go to sleep. And, you know, he sounds actually more pissed off than anything. And while they're taking photos of his feet, he just sort of just doesn't care. And he keeps putting his feet up and then taking them down and feet up. And he'll do this a couple of times during this interrogation. And he'll keep getting into trouble for it, though at the start they wanted his feet on the table. So it's quite bizarre.
Well, speaking of sleep, this guy really wants to sleep. Let's look at what happens when he asks yet again to go to sleep.
I just want to go to sleep. That's it.
If you have a concussion, you don't need to sleep. That's what the doctors will say. So I'll put your feet on the table like that. Just put them straight on the table. Right on top. There you go.
It's hard to know there. He sort of looks drugged or possibly even concussed. This could actually be dangerous.
Yeah, it's quite interesting that he does seem to be a bit concussed, and yet the officer says if you're concussed, you know, a doctor would tell you you have to stay awake anyway. I forgot that that police officers have a doctor's education and standards as well. So it's amazing that this officer decides that he might have a concussion because he does have a really revolting black eye, but he just wants to sort of just go along with it and say, yeah, well, you're going to have to stay awake. You've been awake since God knows what time last night. It's now Boxing Day in Australian time. And he says, too bad, you're just going to have to stay awake.
Once again, because they basically have the feeling you're guilty, you get no sympathy from us. This next part is general chit-chat, but it's more about what Waller does. Let's take a look.
I'm showing my coordination.
That's very interesting, Amanda, because that black eye is pretty horrible. And during that part, we're seeing him pick at it, play with it. Do we actually know what happened?
No, but it's what they're actually going to talk about during this interrogation, because obviously he's been hit by someone else. So was there a massive fight between him and Heather? You know, and we're going to go through the blow by blow of what happens here. But yeah, he's actually there sort of picking off the dry blood. He's sort of opening his eye the best he can, because it's literally swelling as we watch this film. It's just quite amazing how bad it actually gets. So it's still coming through. There's still blood pressure there. And he's like, they're still taking photos of his feet during all of this, and he's just playing with his eye. And he's already put the handcuff on his arm. So he's actually going to handcuff himself to the table soon. But yeah, they don't even care that he's got the handcuffs. So he either should have them on or shouldn't have them on. So this is a risk of a patient who seems to be drugged or concussed, and they're just sort of ignoring what's going on. Like, yeah, but we're going to take swabs of your feet after you've just been barefoot for 6 hours and you've walked through a police station and been in police cars and you've got a concussion. Yeah, maybe, yeah, well, the doctors are going to tell you just to stay awake anyway, so you may as well stay awake and be interrogated. So it's just, I don't know, this is an ugly interview.
It's interesting, the focus on the feet. There's a whole black eye there that's not part of the narrative here. And look, we should note, it's actually been 20 minutes so far, and although there have been several officers in and out of that room, none have addressed him at all, Amanda.
No, they haven't. And so anything he says during this is inadmissible anyway. So if he says, oh, yeah, you know, this is what happened, I shot her, and then, you know, shit, because she'd beaten me up or something like that, you know, all of that could happen here and now, because we know that he just wants to go to sleep, that he might just go blurt and tell the whole confession, and they haven't read him his rights. So it's a bit silly to do that. And he does talk, he does chat, you know, but there's a sort of this toing and froing that's happening, that they should be interviewing him. Take the photos later. I mean, we did the one on Brian David Mitchell, who the photographer comes in halfway through the interrogation and the officer says, get out. I don't understand why that's not happening. They've had 6 hours to do all of this. Why is this now being done in the interrogation room, not in like the crime scene collection area or whatever? It's just so bizarre how this goes.
It really is. But look, finally, Detective Dalton sits down and starts the interrogation.
I am Detective Dalton. Okay. His name is Waller, W-A-L-L-E-R.
Yeah.
Your date of birth is 2/12/1988. Your social security is 600-62-5451.
Yes?
Yes. Okay. you know why you're down here, Ryan? You have no idea why you're down here?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Are you serious? He's got no idea. Dead girlfriend, bloodstained clothes, doesn't give him a bit of a hint why he might be there. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's been in the police car for 6 hours before this interview started. They've come and taken swabs of his feet. You know, doesn't he want to start sort of saying, I didn't do it, I'm not the killer? I mean, we see this over and over again, that they start with a denial regardless of where it takes us to. And so he's like, yeah, no, I don't know why I'm in coveralls. No, I don't know why I've got a black eye. No, I don't know any of this. You know, and it's just strange that Dalton sits down and goes, I'm Detective Dalton. And then gets out his folder, then gets out his pen. You know, it's just it's really odd. And the fact
yeah,
that he sort
on,
of says,
hang on,
and
hang on.
He, this.
This guy is being obstructive. At the scene, wouldn't give police any information. Now, he's like, I don't know why I'm here. I actually am starting to side with the police here and understand why they're treating this guy with contempt. One, it looks pretty obvious he did it. But two, he just say he was innocent. He's not helping his case here right now by being a smartass like this. Like, he has to know why he is there.
Absolutely. As I said, he's been in that police car for 6 hours. Wouldn't he go, oh, hello, why am I being taken to the police station? He's just playing it. He's just going, oh, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you know, here's my feet. Where's the handcuffs? I'm going to handcuff myself to the table. Absolutely. He is playing this the best way he can. Because if he says, no, I don't know why I'm here, then they can suddenly go, oh, well, you've been arrested for the murder of your girlfriend. And then he can pretend to be shocked and everything and just go, oh, I didn't realise that. You know, but they seem to know so much about him.
But he knows the girlfriend's dead, right? That's not
interesting. Yeah, he does. He knows that she's dead, but he's just playing it, as you said. You know, no, I don't know why I'm here. You know, I didn't do it. So that's the path that we start on.
Oh, I'm getting annoyed. We don't like it when Robbie gets annoyed. Dalton, rather than explaining why, he just ignores that and instead reads him his rights.
I'm going to read you something. So you understand because I don't know what happened. Okay, so I'm gonna read you something to make sure you understand your rights. Okay, basically I'm gonna read it. You've seen Cops before, right? Ever seen a TV show Cops or CSI or anything like that?
Okay.
Never seen that?
No.
You've never seen any kind of cop show, lawyer show, any kind of show?
Yeah.
Okay. I want you to listen up real closely. Okay, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can't be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to the presence of an attorney to assist you prior to questioning and be with you during questioning if you so desire. If you cannot afford an attorney, you have the right to have an attorney appointed for you prior to questioning. Do you understand these rights?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. What's the highest grade you went through school?
I don't know.
You don't know the highest grade you went through? Eighth grade? Did you graduate?
Yeah.
Do you have a GED?
I don't know.
Dalton seems a little apprehensive there. Why did he read him his rights rather than tell him why he was there?
Well, now that they're actually finally getting to it, if he doesn't read him his rights first, anything he says can't be used in court. So rather than saying you're here being charged with your girlfriend's killing, he's actually saying, well, these are your rights, because then as soon as he then says to him, you're charged with the murder of your girlfriend, whatever his response is can be used against him. So he sort of is leading to that, but it's just so weird that he is so apprehensive and he's just sort of, I would believe that this was Dalton's first day on the job. He is slow to react, and Ryan's actually using the, I don't know, and we've seen that before a lot, you know, I don't know, you know, what was your highest level at school? Year 8. Did you graduate? Yeah. you know, but it's so quick that he answers some quickly and then others it's, I don't know. So
why is he asking about school?
Because I think he thinks he's dumb, and so he needs to sort of make sure that he understands his rights. Because the reason that we have Miranda rights is because people didn't understand their rights, and so they were convicted, and they didn't understand that they didn't have to speak to police, that they could ask for a lawyer. So this is why we have rights, and so you need to understand them. That's why they say, "Do you understand these rights as I've read them to you?" Because if they say no, then they can't continue. They have to stop there and bring in like an appropriate adult, like they did in the Fred and Rose West case, because they didn't understand because they weren't highly intelligent, and so they had to have someone there to explain things to them in plain English that doesn't defeat the legal rights that they actually have to go through. So he's just trying to see how smart he is, and basically this kid's response to everything is, "I don't know." Sorry guys, that's a spoiler alert there for you, but it's just interesting how he answers some of these things, and there are some that he gives some great answers. I can tell you that too. It's not all I don't know, but there are some pretty funny answers to come.
Okay, well, that's good to know moving forward. But I've got to say, the way he said, "I don't know," it reminds me of the McDaniel interviews, you know, the way he's just saying, "I don't know," to everything. But look at that smile you've got.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought too. I'm like, oh, here we go. So I went looking for press interviews to see if he'd done some interviews crazily beforehand too, but no, there wasn't. But yeah, this is exactly the path I was going down. I'm thinking, oh God, when I first watched this, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a McDaniel. I can see it happening. It's just going to be painful. But he does give some pearlers. Where Stephen McDaniel didn't, Ryan Waller is actually going to give some pretty good answers, I promise.
Oh, okay. Well, let's get straight back into it to find out if we can hear some of those pearlers, because the questioning continues.
You don't know what?
I don't know. I just want to go home.
Oh, you're not going to go home right now.
So what?
What's the highest grade that you completed?
B?
No. Not grade, as in letter grade. I'm asking, did you graduate high school?
No.
And the highest you went was 8th grade?
Yep.
Do you know how to read and write, Ryan?
Yeah.
I don't think he's dumb. I think he's concussed.
Okay, interesting. I just loved how he answered that question. It was an absolute crack up. You know, what's the highest grade you've got? And he goes, a B.
I just thought,
oh my God, that's so funny. You know, and it's like, yeah, I had to laugh. And that's one of our first pearlers, I have to say. You know, but he's wanting to play games, because as we can see, some of them he answers, and like that one, yep, my highest grade was a B. So his brain's telling him one thing, but what we're seeing is that something else is coming out now too. And so he's not answering them as quickly sometimes. And then when he does answer, it's like, I don't know. So the cop's thinking he's just a moron. You think he's got a concussion.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, he's got a pretty bad eye. So there's definitely something hurting there. But we'll see how concussed he is when it continues.
Well, let's move to the point where Dalton finally talks about the case.
Do you have a girlfriend? No. Do you know a girl named Heather?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Heather's last name?
Mm-hmm.
What is Heather's last name?
The one that lives there right now?
I guess, I don't know. If her name's Heather, what's her last name?
I don't know which name she's trying to use as her last one. She's trying to have a real last as her nickname, so I don't know.
What nickname does she go by?
She probably wants the last name, Kyman.
Kyman? How would you spell that, with a K or a C? Okay.
Keep going.
I don't know.
How old is Heather?
16 or 17.
Do you think he actually knows what's going on here?
Well, it was when I accidentally was watching this on, like, well, actually, I wasn't watching it at all. I had it on my headphones at work, and it was that response just there that made me go, no, hang on a sec, something's going on here. So that's where I had clued in. I'm hoping people are out there are yelling at the podcast or the thing that they've clued in on what's happened. But, you know, I was doing mean things, and just that last response that he said, oh, 16 or 17, I instantly went, no, hang on a sec, there is something else going on here. And so then I started to listen to his responses. So you need to listen in a bit harder.
Okay, I will do that. I assume you're not going to reveal right now what that is.
Oh,
you're going to make
no.
us work for it, Amanda.
No. I'm going to make you work for it. So, Jules, I know that you will be listening to this, and I know that you are screaming at the screen right now because you will have picked it up as well as I did.
Okay. I've got my intense ears on. They're pretty big. Let's find out what happens when Dalton finally asks Waller about his black eye.
What happened to your face?
I don't know.
You told the officer just a few minutes ago that someone hit you. Do you remember who hit you?
I don't know. I think it was Heather.
Why would Heather hit you?
I don't know. It was an accident. I forgot why.
What was an accident?
Heather's last name?
No. What was an accident?
Heather hitting me.
What did she hit you with?
Her hand and the eye.
Did you guys have an argument?
Not really, no.
Not really?
Uh-oh.
What happened for her to hit you in the eye like that?
She just hit me on accident. She was giving Christina a head.
She was what?
She was helping Christina with her hair or something. I don't know.
Who's Christina?
She's on the couch.
Christina's on the couch? What's Christina's last name?
I don't know.
What does she look like?
I really don't know.
You don't know?
Uh-uh. I really don't.
What color hair does she have?
Brown.
Is it long?
Just average.
How old is Christina?
20 maybe, I don't know.
Okay, so we've got a confession that it was Heather who hit Waller in the eye, but it was an accident while she was doing Christina's hair. I've got that right, haven't I?
Yeah, so
got my listening ears on.
It's an odd confession. Yeah, it's exactly what he said, but it's interesting now he's getting angry. So he's getting frustrated. He wants to just get out of there. So he's trying to answer the questions as best he can. But did you notice that he went to answer about Heather's surname from a couple of questions ago? So that's interesting.
That is interesting. Okay, so it's a bit like he's on slow motion, which would, to be honest, add more credibility to my theory that he's got a concussion.
Well, you know, Heather's struck him in the eye pretty hard. So was it an accident whilst Christina's hair was being done? I don't think so, but I think that we're getting closer to the truth. So now Christina's on the lounge instead of Heather. So we're starting to form what's happening here. So we now have a second person there, and Dalton's now questioning what did she see, because he wants to know what Ryan's going to say and if it actually actually matches up with what Christina has said, because they have actually spoken to Christina already.
Well, Dalton continues to interrogate Ryan about other people who were in the home at the time of Heather's murder.
Do you know Alicia?
Mm-mm.
You don't know Alicia?
Mm-mm.
She lives at your house? Do you know a guy named Eric?
Mm-hmm.
What's Eric's last name?
He's trying to pay me back. Green something.
His last name is Green something? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Where's Eric right now?
I don't know.
Do you have his phone number?
I really don't. He doesn't have one.
Okay. Do you have Heather's phone number? You don't know?
Mm-mm.
How about Christina?
Mm-mm.
You don't have anybody's phone number?
Mm-mm.
Now, he doesn't know much, but... Well, he doesn't, but he... okay, I'm going to say it looks like either there's a concussion, he's high, he's drunk, but he's certainly very tired. It's like going to a party and at the end of the night, you're very drunk and you just want to get home. And if you were catching a taxi or an Uber, you'd be asleep in the back of the taxi or Uber, right? He just wants to sleep.
Yeah, he does. And he has just had 6 hours of sleep, hopefully, in the back of the police car. But we actually don't know. But we know that they did speak to him briefly during that time. But at the same time, he's not asking any questions. He's only answering. So he hasn't been told yet officially that he is being charged with Heather's murder. He's probably been told beforehand, but Dalton actually hasn't said it to him in a way to say, like, you're my suspect, you know. And I know that they often play the good cop, bad cop, and the Jennifer Pan one was a perfect example of that they keep going. But Ryan's just sort of trying to protest a little bit, you know, I really don't know, rather than asking him to sort of say, oh, can you ask me again? Or no, I don't know his phone number, but I know Christina's. He's not offering any information, so he's playing it pretty close. So if this is someone who is concussed, or if someone who's drugged or drunk or whatever, they would still have that cognition to say, hang on, what's going on? But we can see that he's not doing that. He is shut down. He doesn't want to answer these questions. He's getting pissed off, and, you know, Dalton's just getting nowhere, but Dalton doesn't know how to get through. So, you know, as we see, he's answering questions later to what Dalton asked before. But at the same time, he's not wanting to give up info. So he's playing it very close. For someone who is concussed or drunk or drugged, I don't think they could keep this going, that they would actually go, what are you talking about? And he's not offering anything, and he's not it's not a two-way conversation at all.
No. And the other thing, I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt by saying, well, he's very drunk or high or whatever it might be, but his girlfriend is dead. Whether he did it or not, usually an event like that would snap you out of whatever's going on. Concussion is different, of course, but something is not right here. Absolutely. All right. Well, the interrogation continues with Dalton trying to get a straight answer.
What happened last night?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I really don't. I just want to go to sleep. Oh.
Well, you remember Heather hitting you in the eye, right?
I don't remember after that, because I just wanted to lay down and try to go to sleep.
All right.
I don't know what anybody was doing. I really don't.
Who was in the house when you went to sleep?
Christina and Heather.
Christina and Heather?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Christina was on the couch?
Heather was.
Heather was on the couch. You told me Christina was on the couch just a minute ago.
Now, isn't this interesting, Amanda? The story is changing and Dalton's approach is different. In our last episode with Jennifer Pan, when her story changed, they didn't pick her up straight away. They just noted it. Dalton's jumping in here and saying, that's not what you said last time.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting that this confession is changing. So he's realizing now that he can get little bits out of Waller as they continue. But it's, yeah, it's definitely different to a completely coherent person like we saw with Jennifer Penn, who was psychopathic and knew what she needed to do to get out of this. We have this dumb kid who is concussed or something, who just doesn't want to be there. And literally, as we've just heard, he said that he went to sleep straight after Heather had hit him. So there seems to be that there was a blind rage that must have happened, that maybe he was unaware of his actions and what he did that has precipitated her and ending up dead on the lounge.
So you just used the confession word. Is this the start of his confession?
Absolutely. This is, he's now starting to give up those details, and it's about picking those pieces out. Now, in the Jennifer Penn case, they let her tell the story multiple different times. We're not going to get this here. This is a totally different interview style, and Dalton really has no idea what he needs to get from Waller, because he knows that, you know, he's injured. He has his black eye. He now knows that there was a domestic violence incident. So now it's about getting him to say that he shot Heather, and it's starting. So now we have the right victim in the right location. So that's the first tick of the box that he's got. So regardless of what Waller's saying, I don't know, to, he's actually now giving up these little bits of pieces that are coming together. And it's obvious that, you know, his thought process is quite fragmented, but we are getting there.
Okay. Well, he's now confessed to it being Heather on the couch. Let's see what else he finally remembers.
I don't know, man. I really don't. I really don't.
You just don't know?
I really don't, man.
Or you don't want to tell me?
I really don't know, man. I really don't. I just want to go and go to sleep, man.
Well, Ryan, you're not going to go anywhere. Do you know what happened in your house last night?
Mm-mm.
Is that house yours?
Mm-hmm.
Yours or your parents'?
Mine.
You bought that house?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, what happened?
I don't know what happened. You're all beat up, right? So tell me what happened.
I don't know. I just want to go to sleep, man. That's it.
Remember what happened to your nose? There's a big chunk out of your nose.
I don't know.
Someone grab you? Were you fighting with somebody?
No, I need to go. I need to go back to sleep, man. I'm just tired, man. That's it. Didn't even do anything. I just want to go to sleep.
You remember what time this happened? Your eye?
Like 1? Or maybe earlier? I don't know.
It's interesting. He answered that time pretty quickly. It happened at 1.
Yeah, it's interesting that every so often he has a sharp moment of clarity that he actually goes, yep, it happened at 1 a.m. Yep, now I just want to go to sleep. So there is these small pieces of this jigsaw puzzle that are coming together. So what Dalton is doing is he's feeding responses to him. Rather than asking him open questions for him to answer, he's saying, there's a big chunk out of your nose. You know, so what happened there? You know, has this had a, you know, have you had a fight? Who's done this to you? And this has been able to sort of bring some of that recall back for Ryan, and he's saying, oh yeah, it happened at 1 o'clock, you know, but he is wanting to go to sleep. And it's quite amazing that, you know, this started at 5:30 a.m. and he apparently says it happened at 1 a.m. last night. So we know that he's been in a police car for 6 hours. So it's starting to say, okay, well, is that the truth? Because that was a very quick answer. And so it's quite weird how this will come together. And it's, yeah, so the 1 o'clock was very quick, but why was it quick?
Why are they persisting with this interview? It's obvious he really wants to sleep. I get the idea of trying to wear him down. and maybe they'll get honesty. Maybe that's what they're thinking. They'll get honesty by him being pushed past a sleep state. It's almost a form of torture. But he's not Absolutely. Really giving anything here. Would they be better letting him have that sleep and then interrogating him, or is this the best way to do it?
Well, as you said, this is a form of torture, and that's exactly what's happening here. This guy wants to sleep. He is not going to answer questions coherently until he has that sleep. And so they're pushing him beyond that because they realize that if they keep going, he's just going to say, yep, blah, blah, blah happened, and I'm done, and I'm out of here, and right. so I can sleep. So that's why he keeps saying to him that, you know, if you tell me what happened, then you can go to sleep. Just let me know what happened. But this confession is just all over the place.
Well, it's interesting because from what you're saying, there are a few twists and turns to come, and we're going to find out what those twists and turns are in the next episode of Monsters Who Murder Serial Killer Confessions. Amanda, I'm on the edge of my seat with this one. I cannot wait to find out how it ends.
And please, people, don't go and look at the end of the book. Just wait and hold off for us to go through it with you. It's going to be worth it because it's amazing. I promise you that.
Yes, take the journey with the Serial Killer Whisperer. No spoilers, people, no spoilers. And you can join us next week for that one. And if you want early access, all you've got to do is sign up to Patreon at patreon.com/MWMconfessions, or for a direct feed of the video, which is released at the same time as the early audio episodes, you just got to go to mwm.uscreen.io. I'm Rob McKnight. She is Amanda Howard, the Serial Killer Whisperer, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.